Hello, my name is Mercury and welcome to this brand episode of Media Fae. Today, I'm alone and today I'll be discussing the fourth volume of Ruby. Yeah, we're back. I'm back with this. Not as long as a wait on for between volume 2 and 3. Yeah, 6 months it's been. 6 months! 6 months it's been since I last covered Ruby on the podcast, volume 3. Not much more to say about that. Just, it's been quite a while. And, yeah, well, what's my reason for even coming back? I originally wasn't gonna review this volume until way later. It was like, I have a watch list for a bunch of different stuff. And Ruby Volume 4 wasn't even in the single digits, right? It was 12 episodes, and I have a whole lot of series to cover. So what's my reasoning behind actually wanting to discuss this show? Well, the Rooster Teeth website is shutting down in a little less than 3 weeks. So I want to catch up on all of Ruby. I've given myself the challenge of catching up with all of Ruby in 18 days' time. Yeah, it'll probably take me quite a bit. I will admit, it might take me quite a bit, but it will be done. And I will be getting an episode hopefully as soon as I am done watching the volume. To get my immediate thoughts out of the way. But I've taken quite a bit to actually get this done. I did finish it yesterday. This volume, I did finish it yesterday, so yeah. But I am here to actually review it. So instead of waiting almost over half a year for a Ruby review, you're gonna wait probably only a few days to be kind of honest with you, only a few days to actually, you know, for me to review this stuff. So yeah, not a lot to actually say, but without further ado, let's get into it actually, you know, just fuck it, let's run. So what did I start off with? Well, I have my notes here. The animation. The animation for this show. Okay, to put everyone up to speed who hasn't watched this, the first three volumes were animated with Poser. But later, but for volume 4, they had to switch to the Maya engine, so they now use that, and this is the first volume with it, like I just said. But this is the first volume with that engine. So how does it look? Well, it's clearly the first time using it, because some animations are pretty stiff, and it's noticeable that they have it. It is a vast improvement. It looks better, but it still doesn't look all that impressive. There aren't any really, I guess, I would say impressive uses of this new engine they have. And the Maya engine is an animation engine that is very mainstream in the animation industry. It is, I think, what most people use in the industry. So yeah, it just kind of not it, it's a lot of the a lot of the of just what it is. It's just kind of people, I don't know, it just never really used very well aside from the fights, and I don't know, it doesn't really, they don't really show what it's capable of in this volume, which I don't know. If you're gonna, I think if you're going to make a, if you're gonna switch around the engine, you might as well try to make it, to make the most of it, at least show that it was a decision that was good for the long term by showing it really used well, and it just kind of isn't, and that isn't really the I don't know if that's the fault of the engine or the fault of the volume itself and its writing, because they don't go all out in this volume. They don't. This volume is kind of a letdown. And honestly, I know I kind of raved on. I kind of harped on volume 2 for kind of being kind of pointless. But this one is even more pointless. This one is kind of just a point A to point B story with some exposition in between and some other stuff, but we're gonna get into it when we get to the plot. But I'm getting ahead of myself. But yeah, if you wanted this for us to see that you switched endings and are now becoming much more aware of your franchise's potential and all that, and I don't know, just like you wanted to, you want to show that you could, that you, that this was a worthy enough thing to finally show that yes, you're using a industry standard, an industry standard animation engine. Or, I guess, computer graphics application, as it's now said on Wikipedia. Then, I don't know, fucking do something with it that's much more interesting than what we saw here. Because the action, which is what I'm talking about next, isn't very impressive. There are, like, I can count the amount of fights with two fingers, I think. No, wait, there's like three fights, right? I guess, right? No, there's like four fights. There's like four fights in this entire volume. And that is the one at the beginning, which is them versus the Geist Team Ranger. I refuse to call it Junior. That sounds stupid. I'm only gonna call it Junior once we get to volume, whatever the fuck, whenever it's just them three and not Ruby. I'm guessing it's volume 5, which is next time, but yeah. What else is there? Team Ranger and Crow versus Tyrion. Kind of the chase scene between Sun, Blake, and Ilya. Oh wait, there's five. I forgot about the dragon thing. See Phalong. When we first see Blake. Yeah, that's a fight. There's like five fight scenes. It is this volume. It is kind of boring, to be honest. I kind of found myself like, what the fuck is going on? I'm like, why is this happening? But yeah, a lot of the action is just kind of uninteresting. A lot of characters just kind of stand around, especially in the Ranger and Crow and Tyrion fight. And even in the Nakavali, I think Nakalavi, whatever the fuck it's named, the horse grim thing. I noticed that characters just kind of disappear and reappear and do nothing for set periods of time. So, for example, in the Ranger versus Crow and versus Tyrion fight, Nora is just kind of standing there looking at them until it's her turn to fight, and in the horse fucking thing fight, Ruby just disappears for like a solid 3 minutes. She is not there at all. I don't even know where she went. The action is very disappointing and doesn't make up for the slog that is this volume. I did finish it in technically 2 days. I did have a break day, but I was busy. I would have finished it then, but... the action just kind of doesn't make up for the kind of just bad stuff in the volume. And what is the bad stuff in the volume? Well, let's get into it. The characters here are bland or bad. I just gotta say. Let's start off with kind of what we focus on for most of the volume. The Mistral Gang, which is Ranger and Crow. What's fucking up them, right? They kinda do nothing. I guess we learn more about Ren and Nora and their sort of friendship. I gotta say, it kinda comes out of... I would have cared more if it was, I don't know, like, I guess teased better in at the start of the, if throughout the volume, if it just kinda wasn't, oh, they found... The Kuroyuri sign, and they just kind of this is also in Mistral. So yeah, and it was also Nora's backstory, so I think it would have been better if she also kind of the same way as Ren did. With like her, with seeing the reception of Mistral, maybe seeing Ren like say stuff about like, oh yeah, I'm not really, I've seen this before, so yeah, I would have liked to see, I guess, Nora react more, because I guess it was also her backstory. She was also there. Kind of react more towards things like anything revolving Mistral and Kuroyuri. And honestly, kind of just it being led up to more and kind of just showing the fact that Ren knows what's going on here and what Mistral has. And instead of just kind of, maybe it's something I just forgot, possibly, it is it's a very real possibility, because I know there was a scene where they pass through it. But I don't know, maybe maybe it's a talked about more, like. I don't know, just maybe if Ren, like, when he saw the hoof print of the horse grim, maybe he will become much more on edge since he knows it's out there destroying towns. Or even Nora doing anything remarkable. Just anything to really show that there was, that like Ren knows, like anything like really building up to the moment where you finally see Ren's backstory. Because I mean, it is cool. We haven't really seen much of this character at all in the earlier volumes. So seeing him actually kind of be the main character, be a main player in this volume would be kind of cool if it was built up more. But yeah, as for Ruby and John, what of them? What really of them? They don't do much at all? Yeah, they don't really do much, I would say. Ruby and John have Ruby has one episode where she's having like nightmares about Pyrrha, and then she sees, and then like it happens throughout the episode twice, I think, and then she noticed, and then she like she at one night she notices that John is training with a Pyrrha, the video that she recorded before she died. What the fuck? And that's it. That's all we really know. And they don't really develop any more. Yeah. That's it for that, that's actually straight up it for these two characters. Ruby is one of the main characters of the show, and she just kind of doesn't do much here. And yeah. It's just kind of weird. And John is like fucking super dramatic about anything. He goes on about these tirades about fucking nothing, and he's just super over dramatic about like anything ever. It's insane to me. Like, it is genuinely insane to me how dramatic this man is, and he doesn't even get any development this time around. He's just kind of there. Oh yeah, and Crow's here too. Crow is kind of just an exposition dump. Because they kind of realized that if Crow was here and he's an experienced husband, they can't really have him around doing anything, so they had to write him off. They had to make him literally come in, dump exposition, and then like just get sick for the rest of the volume. It's crazy. The disrespect. He fights once, gets sick, and then at the end they don't even find a cure. The Mistral people just kinda come in and save him. So yeah, it was just a way to write him off. Until they finally got to Mistral. I don't even know what the fuck happens to him in Volume 5. Everything I've seen of Volume 5 doesn't even have any semblance of Crow in it. Like, anything I've seen of Volume 5, it's just the girls. That's it. And like the Leon Arden and all that shit. Yeah. Anyways, moving on from that. Yang and Tai Yang, I want to talk about them too. Yang's storyline is, it's weird. So she's only coming into, I think, the fourth episode or third episode. I don't remember. but she has this PTSD about Adam and her arm and all that, and she doesn't want to take the arm. Because she doesn't want to take the prosthetic arm because she isn't ready to move on. And it's a cool plot line. It lasted more than two episodes. So then in this epic, just really epic moment, really cool moment, Yang puts on the arm off screen and joins Tai Yang for spar in the episode after saying she doesn't want to put the arm on. Wow, that's such overcoming of my demons. After she got talked to once. And what happened to their PTSD moments? Gone. They're gone. They're not here anymore. And they probably won't come back for quite a good while. Since the next time Adam fucking shows up is in, I think, volume 6. Because he's not in the Mistral stuff. Volume 6. Yeah. Fun stuff, guys. Fun stuff. We still have two more seasons until he decides to show up, so... Ugh. Not even all that 10 for Volume 5. I heard Volume 5 is the worst. So yeah, I've heard that that this little section of Yang, because I've mentioned it before, but I kind of gotten spoiled the whole season and the whole show. And I'm just kind of watching it to kind of get up, and now that I'm actually kind of getting up and doing something about it, I better finish it. It's kind of brushed over and doesn't really go anywhere. But I thought that okay, maybe it takes a while. It's one episode until she puts the arm on. One episode, and then she's fine. And then at the end, she goes on and decides to okay. Now I'm gonna go find my mom now. Also, I put here and others, but Raven shows up. Talking about her now. Raven shows up for one scene. And she's gone. And then we don't know her about until next morning. So, yay, more stuff about not really talking about Raven. But she's kind of here for some reason. So, yeah, Raven's here for 5 seconds. And then she kind of goes away. But yeah, that's Raven for you. And Tai Yang. To be honest, Tai Yang is a cool dad. There's not much more to this character. He's kind of funny, I guess. He jokingly insults his own child, which that's kind of cool parent behavior if you can handle it. Like just kind of playfully teasing you about stuff. Or just straight up insulting you, but knowing it's a joke. I don't know. Some people are weird and do that. But yeah. I guess Tai Yang's cool. I think. I don't know. We don't really see much, and I'm gonna guess this is one of the few times we're actually gonna see Tai Yang kind of do anything in the show. Because he's part of the old crew, but we're probably never not gonna see him a lot after this. So yeah, good luck trying to fit him into the story now. Goddamn. But yeah, that's Tai Yang, Yang and Tai Yang. Next up, Blake and Sun. Yeah. So, Sun is in the right about pretty much everything that he ever says. And Blake is such... is such like a dick about everything. She smacks Sun so many times for what is essentially an accident. Like, oh, thank you for helping me with this fight I would have lost. Here's your reward, and a fucking big ass slap on the face. Which is completely unwarranted, instead of just kinda, I don't know, talking to him. I think that would have been much more warranted than just kinda hitting him. I don't know, maybe be a good friend. Maybe if you're mad at him, instead of slapping him, ask him about anything. You can still be mad, but maybe not continue slapping. If it was supposed to be funny, it's not. Because, again, she slaps him later on when he accidentally has something, like when he accidentally barges in. I know, an important conversation, which is again also a kind of bad type of humor, and it happens again with Kali, which is Blake's mom. So, you know, fun stuff there. But Blake, just hits him after about barging in when he has something important to say. And then it continues on like, oh, one, he was right about things. And it's like, oh, I left the room behind because I don't know, I don't even remember what she said it. He said, I didn't want to see people get hurt or something. And it's like, well, you've hurt us more because you just left us behind. So, yeah, fuck you. God, Blake was kind of insufferable throughout everything ever. And if she was willing to be like that, well, yikes. First of all, she's one of your main characters. And I thought that, her being in Beacon and kind of opening up to her team, maybe that was her like actually accepting that she could have friends. And I don't know, not leave them behind with like nothing, not a word to say. I don't know, maybe she didn't have to spend a whole semester in Beacon just to completely unlearn that. I don't know, just saying, Blake kind of regresses as a character in this volume. And that's sad. Sun is completely right to this volume. So yeah, and, well, next up to talk about, I guess, the least bad thing here, that's Weiss's little arc. So, Weiss is stuck in Atlas, and she wants to get out. She thinks that she's being disrespected and everything. And honestly, it's kind of just fine. I think it's overplayed. I think it's a bit overplayed what they do with Weiss, because her father and her brother are like super assholes, just mega assholes. I'll talk about them a little bit, but yeah, they're kind of super assholes, and Weiss is in the right for a lot of things, but she's that's kind of written to be that way. But yeah, the only person that she really cares about, Weiss, is Klein, which is her butler. So, yeah, Weiss is the least bad thing, that's kind of by default, because she is, kind of in the house of a bunch of assholes, so, yeah, By default, it's the least bad stuff here, but I don't know. I kind of like the fact that it shows that she grew. Like, this arc, most little thing for Weiss, it shows that she grew as a character. And while sure, she is still about upholding the Shi name, but she doesn't really think of she's in the same, and it shows. Like, with her becoming more rebellious towards the end. I don't think she would have done that. Before then, in her Volume 1 counterpart, but when she decides to escape the manor and do kind of illegal activity, to put it bluntly, I feel like it shows much more of her, of how she grew as a character, towards the fact that she now disobeys her father. But to be honest, where she learned this, I have no fucking idea. And she was always kind of disobedient with her father. She didn't really agree with him on most things. So, yeah. But I think maybe after seeing the destruction of a Vale, I think that might have jogged their, I think I might have put a pep in her step to actually do stuff. But yeah, it's cool. It's actually progression instead of regression, like with Blake. But yeah, what about other characters? I said Jocks and Whitley. Jocks, Schnee, and Whitley, Schnee. Like I said, they're over assholes for no reason, I think. They only really care about the Schnee name. With Jocks, I have no goddamn reason for it. But Whitley is also, I think he's the biggest asshole here. He's so, I don't know, bitchy. He's so unlikable. And he's written to be that way, but he's like overly unlikable. I just don't like how he's written at all. I don't like how this man is written. That's just kind of my opinion. I don't like how this man, just how, like, just, we don't know anything about this character, and all we know is that he hated Weiss and Winter, and he only cares about the Schnee name and the company and all that. And he just likes kind of toying with it, with his sister. God, he's just kind of insufferable, and not even, like, I guess he was written that way, but he's just kind of insufferable in the wrong way. It's bad. I think Whitley and Jocks are bad characters, just kind of assholes just to be assholes. Kind of overplayed a little. And fucking, and Ironwood is finally the, just not really that bad compared to these guys. I mean, he was never really that bad. He was just kind of militaristic, which is fine to have different views with the same goal. It just seems like these characters don't know what to think of that. But I mean, Ironwood is fine here, I think. So yeah, more talk about other characters. What other characters were there in this? I guess, like, really important characters. I'm gonna talk about Tyrion. Tyrion is just kind of your typical insane person, and I actually kind of like the scene where he kind of kneels towards Salem and he starts crying because he failed and whatever, and then And then he gets so mad that he's just a cool little scene that actually, like, shows the Grim, like a Grim going towards him because he's like crying and stuff, you know, negative emotions. And then he just starts absolutely tearing it apart. And he starts laughing. I think that's pretty cool. Yeah, that's a pretty good scene, but not much was to Tyrion. He's just kind of there. He's a villain. He's written there so Crow can give out his exposition and then, you know, not be there. So yeah, I guess I'll talk about Salem too. We don't really see much of her in this volume really at all too. We see much more of her character, but I don't know, this little villain hasn't really shown what she's capable of at this point. And yeah, Sindar's also here for 5 seconds. And she doesn't really do much because she's kind of incapacitated. And she's trying to learn how to control her new maiden powers, but we see very little of that, so it doesn't really matter in the end. We also see much more of Salem's inner circle with Emerald, Mercury, not me. and there's a new character, is Hazel and Arthur Watts, Dr. Watts. Hazel has at least things to do. He kind of shows up one time, and then he's kind of gone. He's kind of there to get a really weird way to get Oscar. Oh, I forgot about Oscar. Right, Oscar's here. That's all I can really say. Oscar's here, he learns about the things, and he decides to go on and go to Mistral. I guess we're gonna learn more about him in Volume 5, but I would have liked him to appear, I guess, towards the cast, maybe in the volume, maybe not in a post-credit scene, not even like Volume 4, maybe just Volume 5, I don't know. They just got a Mistral. I don't need a post-credit scene to show one of the characters we're kind of hyping up, because he's the one that's off in his head, you know, possibly important. So yeah, Oscar's here. Forgot about him, but it seems like the show forgot about him too. They don't really do anything with him. Yeah, that's pretty much it. No one else does anything. So, let's move on to the plot of the actual show, of the volume, and what of it? What of the plot? Well, it's boring. It's kind of boring. Like I said at the beginning, it's point A to point B, and it's almost like it doesn't have a plot. There's the thing with the horse scream, but that's kind of at the end. There's a bunch of different stuff here and there with a bunch of characters being introduced. But I think it was one of the main critiques of the people with this volume. It just doesn't have a coherent ending to anything. This volume almost serves as like a prologue to Volume 5. Like, this is Volume 5, Part 1, or like it's everything and anything that's interesting in this volume, aside from the plot with their Mistral gang, Ranger and Crow, is just kind of thrown in there for them to not have to explain it later on. In when they actually want to get to the good stuff, in Volume 5. So yeah, that's what it just kind of feels like, you know. It feels like filler almost, like just, oh, we're gonna go here and here, and oh, there's other things going on too. So yeah, That's fun. That's actually fun. There's nothing else that really happens. Like, what they were going with the White Fang plot in this volume goes nowhere. Because there's things set up here that are just kind of meant to be thrown in volume 5. Or volume 6 or whatever. They're not meant to be followed here. They're just kind of meant to be things that we learn later on. And also, other stuff like Yang finally trying to go out and actually do something. That's all just set up for volume 5. And Weiss's entire thing, it's set up for volume 5. Weiss's is much more resolved because she wanted to get out, she got out. But Blake's plot is much more, just nothing. Like, nothing really happened. She goes in, the White Fang's there on Menagerie, and she learns that the White Fang's there on Menagerie. And that's all set up for next volume. It's bad. It's bad, man. It's not good. Yeah, it's all just kind of just set up for the next volume, and whatever is there is just kind of there, I guess. And on Oscar getting involved with the plot and all that. That's all just there to be put into the volume 5, to just be explained to volume 5 so they can do something with volume 5. That's what it's there for. So yeah, this is a big step down from volume 3. I think volume 3 is still the best volume we've had. But yeah, just overall not very good. Not a very good volume. I would say bad. This was bad. This is just kind of exposition and things that lead to nowhere. That's what this volume was. There was no real build up to anything that happens later on in the volume, and it's more build up towards that happens later on in the series. One thing that you might want to do in a show is like, sure, you can have things that build up towards other things later on the show, but you should also have a plot line, a main plot line that runs its course through the season, so it feels like there's an actual conclusion to something instead of what this kind of feels like, which is a side quest. This mostly feels like. So yeah. One last thing I want to talk about before I wrap this up, because I have nothing much more to say. The intro. God damn, I hate this intro. I don't like the song, I don't like the animation. It just looks like they made it in 5 minutes. And I couldn't skip it completely. I always had to like leave it on for a bit and then skip it, because then I would miss some of the episode. So yeah, I don't like this. Also kind of a big step down from last volume's intro. So yeah. What do you guys think about volume 4? Ruby volume 4? Leave in the comments below. All of our socials are on our profile page on YouTube. And if you're listening to this on Spotify, you can go to @TheEntertainment on YouTube to go find them. And as for me, it's @MercurySC on YouTube, AO3 Wattpad, FatFridges.net for all the story content, @MercurySCheese on Twitter, and MercurySCheese on Twitch. So yeah, that's about it. See ya.